everyone. Welcome into this week's episode of the Barbecue Hound with Patrick Netherton. I, of course, the aforementioned Patrick Netherton. We're super excited to have you with us. This is a great interview this week, man. I'm really excited about this. Blake Stoker, a kid who started off with a dream. He didn't even want to go into barbecue and found his way there. Started with a tiny trailer in Tiny Martin, Tennessee, and has built one of the tremendous palaces, if you will, of barbecue. Took over an old milling place. It's over 100 years old, refurbished it, built it out, and has turned it into an absolutely spectacular barbecue place. So can't wait for you to hear from Blake Stoker. Also, love his accent. I just love him. He's a tiny little guy. I mean, I'm 6'4", 275, so everyone is kind of tiny to me. But Blake is spectacular, man. I cannot wait for you to hear from him. Don't forget, after the interview with Blake Stoker from Blake's at Southern Milling in Martin, Tennessee, we will have The Smoke, where we get your thoughts on the interview from last week with Bill Dumas, the Sausage Sensei, and any other comments that you may have. If you want to send us your comments, please do. Patrick@thebbqhound.com. You can also text us at 318-6570-HAM, 618-657-0426. You can also reach us on any of our social media platforms. We are @thebbqhound on everything, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Please follow along. Please share. Tell your friends. Let's keep this thing growing. That's the most important thing. Let's get bigger and better as we go along. So this week, we're going to chat with Blake Stoker of Blake's at Southern Milling, an incredible story of a guy in Northwest Tennessee who has really made something special there. If you haven't visited, it's just outside of Memphis. You need to get over there and make sure that you make that happen, man. It is a tremendous place to visit, and Blake Stoker has a tremendous story. Appreciate you joining us here on the Barbecue Hound with Patrick Netherton. We are pleased to be joined by a dude that I met now almost 6 years ago to the day of when we're recording. It's actually going to be 3 days from 6 years ago when I first met this guy. He was in a tiny little bitty trailer in tiny little bitty Martin, Tennessee. And now the dude is absolutely blowing up. He is Blake Stoker of Blake's Barbecue. And Blake, first of all, how are you, brother? How you doing? Kind of tell us how things are going. We're going to get into your journey and where you're at now and all that. But how you feeling right now?
Doing really well. Things are definitely different than they were back 6 years ago. I didn't realize it was almost that to the day.
Mm-hmm. Amazing. Yeah, August 29th. Yeah, August 29th of 2019. We're recording this on the 26th, but August 29th of 2019. I actually was just looking back in my photos to find it. But yeah, that's the first time we ever met. And yeah, it's crazy to think of. I was we were calling games for Northwestern State. I was coming up to call a game against Tennessee Martin, and I got in touch with our friend Stephen Joseph at Riverport in Jefferson and said, "Hey, what am I doing around Tennessee? Like maybe Memphis, you know, that kind of thing." And he said, "Look, there's a young kid over there who's doing it right." And he said, "Go see Blake's Barbecue." And obviously introduced ourselves to you, and we started from there, and then obviously watching your growth from there. Tell me about kind of, you know, as we get ready for a football season and we're about to start, you're a big guy, you're a big football fan. Tell me about how excited you are for the upcoming season.
Really, really always excited for football. I am Mississippi State alumni. Mm-hmm. Huge fan. And the beauty of being a Mississippi State Bulldog fan is there are zero expectations. So we win 3 or 4 games like we're projected. Great. Everybody got to go to the Junction and drink Busch Lights and cheers and eat crawfish and, you know, everything that goes on down there. We win 8 or 10 or 11 games, then great as well. You know what I mean? Like even better. Yeah. Cherry on the top. But, so it's great to be a Mississippi State Bulldog for sure, always. And then just in general, man, I just love football. Like I, you know, played growing up through high school, just a fan. I like keeping up with it all. Also, that I'm sitting in the bar at the restaurant right now. Mm-hmm. Actually, maybe in the seat. I might be sitting in the seat that you sat in whenever you came in eight. Now that I think of it, I think.
Well, I'm a little surprised. There's not a plaque or something there. Or,
there should be.
Honoring my visit.
Just kidding.
Yeah.
But I agree. There should be. But in front of me by about, 12, 14 feet is a TV. And all this to say, I still work Saturdays, and Saturdays are still very busy for me, but I'm not physically cooking and cutting barbecue on Saturdays anymore. So I'm doing other stuff. Actually, this coming Saturday is going to be one of my third smoked and reverse seared tomahawk ribeye day night. So it's a big day for me, and I won't be able to watch as much football as I'd like to. And it's going to be a big, opening week one slate. But all that said, it's going to be my first year and first football season in about 8 years that I've been able to not be working a 14 to 18 hour shift, right, and actually get a little football in. So actually, over the past several years, I've watched a lot more NFL ball just because I'm available on a Sunday, mm-hmm, Monday night and a Thursday night. But very much looking forward to it.
Yeah, we'll get to kind of why your schedule has changed, because as you mentioned, it hasn't been that way for long. But let's go back to the beginning. I would say small, tiny Blake, but you are still kind of small and tiny. Of course, I'm 6'4", 270, so everybody looks small to me. But
true.
Let's go back to younger Blake. Tell us about where you grew up, how you grew up, and kind of when the barbecue bug sort of bit you a little bit.
Also small, Blake, no matter, almost compared to anybody you compare me to, but I'll take it. I've been that way. I'll be 30 in just a few weeks, and I've been that way for half my life.
And now, by the way, you have here in the last couple of months, you started posting some guns up on the Instagram, man. I mean, you might be tiny, but mighty, brother. Like, you have been posting some yokage over there.
It's football season, baby. You never know when I'm going to I've got on the Westview Charger football.
There you go.
Never know when they're going to need me in the high school game or UT Martin. I'm tight with all of Mississippi State. The depth chart's not too great at any position, so you never know. I'm just ready to be on call when needed, but going back to the beginning, as you can imagine, I've told the story on this format and here at the restaurant. I tell it probably 10 to 12 times on a given Saturday, to customers here. But grew up not in a restaurant or a barbecue centric family at all. Grew up in West Tennessee, so of course, with eating barbecue, pulled pork sandwiches, barbecue bologna, pork rib, sort of a Memphis-style pork rib, all that, mm-hmm, was part of my life, but it wasn't like a major part, influential part of my life.
Right.
All the way growing up, kind of beginning in the duck blind in the late 90s, whenever I was, 3, 4, or 5 years old, a big part of duck hunting, which is something I started doing, years ago, was always cooking and eating, a duck blind breakfast in the duck blind. So
sure, absolutely.
Early morning, pre-dawn, skillets full of bacon. And then later in the morning, sausage, egg and cheese biscuits, or country ham and egg and cheese biscuits, stuff like that. So that was an early influence. And then that sort of spawned me, having a love for breakfast food, which is one of my favorite foods. And then just in general, enjoying cooking and being around cooking and the smells of it and all that. So I sort of hung with cooking as much as a kid can do, nothing crazy, but I was always interested in it growing up. When I got through with my senior year football season, I came upon more time than I had, because like anything I do in life, I've been thinking about this a lot more recently. Mm-hmm. With the way things are changing, I've done very few things in my life. We're talking like 4 or 5 key things that I could say, all right, that's something Blake Stoker's done.
Right.
But any of them that I do, they envelop my entire life, because I go all in, full bore or nothing. Mm-hmm. I mean? No half A, as I would say.
Sure.
So I got a little more time going into my freshman year in college. Got a big green egg grill, ceramic smoker, cooker, whatever they call them. Started playing around, started simple and then worked my way up towards brisket, I guess you could say. Sure. During that time period, and all the way through my childhood life and young adult life, my dad and my family had Black Angus cattle. With that, my dad was a subscriber to the 44 Farms monthly catalog. And one day in 1 month in 2014, I guess it would have been, it might have been early 2015, but I really think it was late 2014, like December or so. The featured picture on the magazine, or at least within it, was an article and a picture of Aaron Franklin holding up a big dino beef rib.
Yeah.
And I'd never seen anything like it. I had really not heard. This was we're talking 2014. So, of course, he had dropped his book and you had started seeing the LaBarbecues and maybe Micklewaite style switch. You know, there was a few coming around, but this is pre-explosion. Current, you know, modern day explosion in Texas barbecue. So it did not have nearly the cult following and the worldwide breadth that it does now. But I discovered through that 44 Farms. And for anybody that doesn't know, that's just a great, great, high quality, very high demand, low supply beef producer out of Central Texas. But anyhow. Actually, and I think if I'm not wrong, didn't Jordan and Brian, did they used to cook it at Bodacious some? Weren't they one of the, it seems like they were one of the few that got 44 Farms briskets.
I believe so. Yeah.
I think so. Correct. Nowadays it's just Zavala's and, there's a couple more of our buddies. I know, the Blood Brothers used to get some, but anyhow, that's a tangent. This is
a long form format, so you can tangent all you want, my brother. You get off on whatever tangents you want.
Well, I'll try to. I'm a tangent meister. So
beautiful. I love it.
I'll try to.
There's a reason my best friend refers to me as the storyteller, because when I start to tell a story, it meanders off into all kind of different directions until it gets back to the point eventually. So,
that's my main suit. But anyhow, discovered this Texas barbecue thing, which I had zero information on, zero prior knowledge. I saw that picture and I thought, dang, that's the coolest looking thing I've ever seen in my life. I've got to try that. I've got to find that, you know, as something to cook. And I really want to go experience that.
Sure.
So that led me to, led my dad and I to learning about Aaron Franklin's book, The Meat Smoking Manifesto, or whatever it's called, that he came out with, I guess, that same year. And dad got that for me for either Christmas. Yeah. Okay. So let's say this would have been the end of 2014, which gave him enough time. And there was still enough time to get that book and gift it to me for Christmas. So this would have been Christmas 2014, freshman in college at UT Martin, still here before I went to Mississippi State. Anyhow, that spawned the following Christmas. So after that year, I did my first year at UTM, had a whole high school sweetheart deal, you know, stayed around, whatever. The following year, went and finished up the rest of my career, college career at Mississippi State over the next 2.5-3 years. But during Christmas break of 2015 going into 2016, my dad, my fraternity brother, and myself took my first of what has now become sort of legendary Blake's annual, or, you know, biannual or triannual Texas barbecue road trips.
Yep.
I think I've been on 25 to 30 of them now that are just specifically barbecue eating road trips, meeting, group, networking, trying, whatever. So I took the first one, our first stop, and keep in mind, none of us had ever ordered barbecue by the pound, never had Texas barbecue. Three of us roll up to Louis Miller in Taylor, Texas, which to me is the cathedral. Everybody thinks of it as the cathedral, but to me, Louis Miller and Franklin, for me and my kind and my inspiration, are the godfathers and the inspiration factors for my journey.
Sure.
But we rode up to Louis Miller at about 1:30 on a Tuesday afternoon, I think it was. And this would have been like January 2nd, 2016, and proceeded to order like one or two, at least one beef rib, you know, which there's 2 pounds of meat right off the bat.
Yeah, you can, a beef rib can feed a whole family if they're not eating too much.
Right. So like, let's just call it one beef rib, 2 pounds of pork ribs. For some reason, Wayne was running, and this is, like I said, 26, this is before you know, the menu was still very small there. Yeah. I had like baby back ribs on special. So we ordered like a half rack of baby backs and the 2 pounds of spares, 2 pounds of brisket, probably two sausage links. You know, we had enough food for eight people.
Yeah.
Put a very small dent in it, but it was just a beautiful, truly life-changing. I mean, as you know, it changed my life. That meal.
Yeah.
Let's just call it January 2nd, 2016, changed my life forever as a 20-year-old. So we had that meal and that experience. The smoke stained walls, the patina on the walls,
the business cards that you know, some of them are white because they're brand new, and some of them are black because they've been there and
had
smoke pouring over them. Like, it's, you know, obviously, as you mentioned, it's one of the, along with Franklin's, it in obviously predates Franklin's, but it's one of those places that, if you're a barbecue person, especially a Texas barbecue person, you have to visit. It's one of the Mount Rushmore spots that you have to get to.
Absolutely. It's a museum that serves great food as well, really.
Yeah.
You know, and the open cooler, the cooler that says grab a beer, and it had Lone Stars and Shiner and all in it. It's wonderful. So we make our way into Austin. Next morning we wake up. And, you know, I'd done a little research on what time to get to Franklin on a weekday, whatever. This is pretty peak, you know, 2015, 2016. That's pretty peak Franklin era there. Anyways, we went to got there at about 7 in the morning. I don't know what number in line we were, but we were there about where the elevator is for the wood, elevator that goes up to the pit room. We were set about right there. Set in line, Ben Lambert, my buddy, we're still great friends to this day. It's one of the most beautiful parts of my story is my friendship with Ben, because he was the first barbecue guy that I didn't get to meet Wayne the day before, although Wayne and I have become close friends over the years since, but, Ben Lambert, was the one cooking there, the main pit guy, and had great conversation with him. You know, he was very generous with, information and, you know, inspiration. But before I even had the meal, to abbreviate this, before I had the meal, probably about 9 o'clock in the morning, standing in line at Franklin, I looked at Dad and said, I know this is crazy, but I want to, and I'm going to open a Texas barbecue food trailer. I think I had maybe cooked one brisket that was a disaster on the, and it was just like a local grocery store, probably just a brisket flat, knew nothing. But decided I wanted to pursue what would become Blake's Barbecue and eventually evolve into Blake's at Southern Milling today. Then had that meal, and of course it was, you know, incredible. And the coolest part of that, like I said, is that relationship with Ben, and I don't mean this in any sort of a braggy way, but he got to see me come from a 20-year-old kid that was having his essentially first Texas barbecue experience, technically second, but, you know, it within the first days of it, to now us remain close. You know, we talk sometimes once a week, sometimes twice a week. Sometimes we go 4 or 5 months without talking, then we recollect. But to kind of see it come from that to where it's at now. Came back, let's just I'll make this abbreviated. Literally opened, so that was January, literally opened Blake's Barbecue in Dresden, Tennessee on summer break. On May 16th, 2016. So in the time in between, of course, there was a lot of smoker building. Also, just to be real, the smoker designs were straight out of the Franklin book. No. Like, that's the only thing I ever really copycatted. And to give you another insight is, you know, the common myth is that I've been all these travels to Texas were me going out there, and I guess people think I was out there taking lessons. Or cooking, you know, doing apprenticeships. Never done that a day in my life. My original recipes, because, you know, nowadays there's Chuds, there's Mad Scientist Barbecue, there's a couple of guys over in the UK, you know, there's all these crazy, there's this huge breadth and volume of barbecue tutorials. You can learn to cook a brisket overnight just watching YouTube videos. Back then, there was the PBS shows that Franklin did that you could find recordings of,
right?
And he had done a few YouTube videos, you know, brisket 101, whatever. But I watched a couple of those just out of Franklin, and then read that book and created my base, you know, my base turkey breast method, base brisket method, all that stuff. And that's the only real, of course, I've kept my eyes open and evolved things. We do things a lot different, but at its base, it's all still the same as it was, just a more, not perfect, but a more perfected, more well-groomed version, and getting more efficient over time. But anyhow, so in that little 5 month period, there was, you know, I had to get my hands on a custom food trailer that we drove to Southeast Georgia to get. Got the smokers built. Luckily, our main, our farmhand that basically ran the farm, Chris Caldwell, he was a jack of all trades. So he was a electric engineer by schooling, but also if he had to do brain surgery, he could figure it out. That type of guy. But also a great welder. So he did all the welding.
I'll let you do brain surgery with him. I'll find a neurologist if it's okay with you.
Yes, I agree. I mean, that'd be the smarter, but if he's that much cheaper and we got to have it done.
Well, with today's American medical system, you know, you might need a good jack of all trades farmhand to do your brain surgery for you. You never know.
That's true. But, so all that took place in that very short amount of time while I was still in school during my spring semester. But I was basically coming home every weekend to work on, you know, details. So opened up, ran it that first year, May through the end of July. Loved it. Learned a lot. Didn't learn a lot probably as well because I was just naive to it. Sure. Went back to school. Came back, opened back up in May through the end of July of 2017. By the end of that summer, I had decided, like verbally and in my heart, decided that I wanted to obviously finish school, but pursue this as a career. So meaning eventually evolved to a brick and mortar. Knew I didn't want to be in a trailer the rest of my life. There's nothing wrong with that. I just knew that wasn't the, you know, my calling.
Sure.
So went back, finished up school, and graduated in December of 2017 from Mississippi State with an ag business degree. And then from then, it was looking for an eventual brick and mortar location. Just briefly, you know, Martin was my main focus. Starkville, Mississippi, I was really up on the idea of establishing something there because I just love Starkville. Paducah, Kentucky would have been a thought. Jackson, Tennessee could have been a thought. Memphis, Nashville, obviously. But Martin and Starkville were really the places where I looked for real estate. Did a lot of driving up and down the very street that we're on, Wendell Street, sort of the main drag through downtown in Martin.
Yeah.
Looked at a lot of the buildings, vacant for sale buildings downtown. Nothing was fitting as far as I did not want a giant place. Like, I think we see, I was talking about it last night. I think we're 160. If we've got a butt in every seat and a seat at every table that we can fit, I think we can fit about 160 in here at one time. In my mind, man, and this is the truth, I was thinking like a 30, 40 seat.
Yeah.
Maybe 50
because most
seat.
Places, most barbecue places aren't that big. They right. don't seat a ton of people. It's sure. Especially the places that are, you know, the most popular are the ones that you don't necessarily have a ton of seating in.
Yeah. So I was thinking that, you know, an old service station with roll up doors, sell beer, no liquor, open from 11 a.m. till 3, you know, till sold out, all that stuff. Obviously, that evolved. Had been driving by this building. It was Southern Milling. It was old Southern Milling Grain Company. This building that was dilapidated at the time had been a landmark in Weakley County, you know, for years and years and years and years. So everybody, including myself, had been driving by it, you know, my entire life.
Sure.
We'd driven by it 1,000 times looking and, you know, whatever. It looked so beyond gone that it didn't seem, it looked so gone that it never even registered as a potential thought. And then we kept coming up dry with places. And one day I just looked at Dad and said, why don't we just go give it up? See if we can get in there just see. So we did. It was about what we would have expected, but it was very intriguing. So I figured out that it was possible to get it bought if I could make it work. So I had engineers come look at it. They, surprisingly enough, literally said, this building is in as good a shape as any building that we've ever seen in that 100-year, because it was right at 99 years old, 100 years old at that point. Anyways, so they gave me the green light on if, you know, it's doable if you do it right. So fast forward, got a hold of the building, signed a contract on, let's say January 3rd, 2019. And that the reason is because technically as of January 1, 2019, it had been in the Pritchett family, the family I bought it from, for 100 years. So they wanted to have it in the, so that was great.
Right.
Got a hold of it in early 2019. Within weeks, began the clean out renovation process. COVID hits, you know, a year and a few months later. Had gotten a pretty good amount done, you know, during that time period, the first 14, 15 months. But then COVID hit. Everybody knows the price of lumber, the price of metal, the ability to receive things that need to be shipped, labor, you know, construction labor, everything went awry. But kept with it, just under a lot more challenge. And fast forward, after meetings and meetings and meetings and heartache and not argument, but, you know, just already trying times with it being COVID and the toll that was taking, just, you know, mentally and physically on everybody. Then, you know, it was a lot of very important meetings with painters, engineers, electricians, my general contractor, Bubba, who's, you know, the Bubba Co. sandwich is named after. Anyways, a lot of time, a lot of energy. All the while I was running, once I got a hold of this, I moved my business from Dresden, Tennessee, where it originally was for the first 3 years, to Martin, just down the street, which is where you came and visited. And we kept running it from spring 2019 until spring of 2022, right before we opened up here. And then fast forward, got it all taken care of, loan process. I guess it would have been three and a quarter years working on it. And then opened up here, transitioned from the food trailer, Blake's Barbecue, to the brick and mortar here, Blake's Southern Milling, in on May 14th, 2022 was opening day. So now we've been open almost 3.5 years, 3.25 years, something like that. Time's flown. I still look very young. Also, I did just shave and got haircuts.
Good. I appreciate extra that. Young. Yeah, you want to be baby faced. Yeah, you want to
exactly.
be baby faced.
I want to stick with it. But you know, learned a lot. Things, as you referenced earlier, things are much different for me these days, in a much healthier, happier spot technically. And I've always been very happy, but you kind of don't realize. It's like if your stomach always hurts, or you've always got the allergies real bad, and then all of a sudden you're cured of that, you sometimes don't realize how much better off you can be until you reach that next level. But living my dream, truly, got a wonderful, wonderful staff around me, many of which have been here, you know, been with me since the beginning of the brick and mortar. And
well, not only a lot of staff, but also a lot of family. I've obviously met your sister. I've met your mom. Like you've got a very strong family presence around what you're doing.
That's right. Now, to be fair, my sister worked with me at the trailer from 2019 until the end of our first year here. And then just like everything is all good. She needed to move on with her life. She did her due diligence and helped me get going, but it was good for her to get out and get back to her field of work. So, but mom's sitting about 8 feet to my left here in the office where she usually stays. But, is an incredible part of all this and helps keep all of us in line does all the books and does all the making sure that light fixtures are dusted correctly. She's got an eye for everything, so she's crucial in many ways.
So were you concerned at any point, because you went from a very small trailer where you were putting out, you know, what you could cook and what you could put out, and you would, you know, sell out reasonably quickly because you didn't have that much capacity. Right. To go from that to such a massive undertaking at the Southern Milling Building, was there concern at any point, like, man, Martin, Tennessee is not the biggest place in the world. Like, what was your concerns going in about potentially a lot of empty seats or maybe not as many people coming in and it's maybe too much building? Were you concerned about that?
Yeah. I'm going to answer that in a roundabout way. Biggest concern was being able to train and have staff, knowing that, yeah, I was basically a one-man show from 2016 until 2020. And then I hired Libby Meadows, my pit manager, to this day. She's been with me, what's that, a little over 5 years now. But us being able to, I was not a good trainer. I had never had teacher. I had never had to teach anybody. Whenever I hired her, I'm about to be 30. So I was 25 years old. Mm-hmm. I've been doing it all myself the whole time. And it was more mature maybe than a lot of 25-year-olds as far as not being a party animal and having sort of my priorities in order. But I had no experience in teaching somebody and actually letting go and all that. So I was I'm record saying it many times. I was in hindsight, not a good teacher. And I probably knew it at the time, but didn't know how to let go. But eventually got her hands in the fire. And she, by the time we moved down here,
I hope not literally hands in the
only
fire.
No, three or four times.
Okay, good. Good.
We've done immunotherapy or whatever you call it. She's back. She's okay.
Okay, good. Good. At least, you know.
She doesn't hate me for that.
Now the fingers can separate again. It's all good. Everything's good.
Well, there's still the on her way.
Yeah, that one.
It helps her swimming during the summer. No, I'm just kidding. But it doesn't help her swimming. I'm not kidding about the other part.
Right.
Anyways, you know, concern was volume increase. The fact that as much as I wanted to, and I still tried to for the first 8 or 10 weeks we were open, I tried to be everything for everybody and do everything. Can't do it. Can't do it. You can do it, but you don't get to eat or sleep if you do that.
You won't last very long in that regard.
No, I didn't have much longer. They had to force me out of that, but thank you to the crew that did. But concern was volume, production, training, keeping the quality up with the increase in volume. It was me not being able to see and touch and cook and do everything. Now that's not concerned at all. Now a big part of my job nowadays is keeping eyes on and, you know, eyes down on quality control. But I've got a great team around me that also is just as aware of what things are supposed to be, what the standard is and my expectations and all that. So we have a very aligned thoughts of that. Thankful for that. And then, you mentioned it, big building. Yeah. There were times we thought, man, what are we going to do to keep 160 people in here during the times that we need it? I guess not, whatever the word is, naivety, a little bit of naivety and a little bit of hope on hope on a limb, mixed with, you know, hearing these old farts around saying, well, you build it, they'll come or whatever.
Right.
So a little bit of it was, it was huge risk. I always I say this all the time. I'm a very risk averse person when it comes to, like, I care nothing about playing poker. Like, for money, I'm not good at playing it anyways, but I'm not a better. I'm not a sports better. I'm not a crafts player, any of that. I like things that I know what the outcome is going to be, or I can sort of dictate the outcome.
Correct.
I say that, but then you've already said that I opened at 26 years old, opened a make or break life maker or life ender, basically. Signed my life away at 26 years old on something I had absolutely no guarantee and no control over. Would it be a success or not? I think the answer is just had a lot of faith and hope and all of those trust, all those words that there's only one, and also I gave myself no option, but I've signed it off now. No option but to do what we have to do to make it run, because there's only two options. It runs and I have a life, or it runs and I'm, done for, dead in the water. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it was a risk, but man, just did it. It was do or die time.
So give me an indication of when you maybe had an idea in your head that this could and would work.
We had a really, as you can imagine, we had a really strong first, let's just call it 4 to 6 months that sure. were, I mean, I hate to say it, balls to the wall. A Wednesday at 11:30 looked about the same as a Saturday night at 7 p.m., which is saying something. So that was promising, but also knew there was it's not like I thought that would keep up forever. You know, yeah. It's a honeymoon phase or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then we hit, season change, whatever it was. You know, after a few months, we opened in spring. So it was getting close to summertime, which summertime in Martin, Tennessee is a tough time to be a business owner, is everybody exits, meaning UT Martin faculty and staff, or faculty and students, a lot of those vacate the city. And then the biggest kicker, that's not as big of an issue for us. The biggest issue for us and other business owners and businesses in Martin is that the local families that we're used to seeing, we're open 4 days a week. There's a lot of families that have, you know, parents that work jobs as, you know, say a business owner or accountants or school teachers. But then they have 2 to 4 kids that are all in grade school, you know, anywhere from kindergarten to high school. All of those families are pulled in different directions during the summer. Youngest kids got gymnastic lessons. Oldest kids got high school AAU basketball. You name it, family mm-hmm. vacations, you know. I don't know how it is in Louisiana and Texas, but I'm sure it's the same in Tennessee. TSSAA has a required 2-week dead period, as they call it. And on dead period, there's no mandatory to be no practice, you know, no organized sports team operations. So that's when everybody goes to Pigeon Forge or the Gulf,
head to the beach, that stuff.
So for 2 weeks, there's nobody in Martin or Weakley County in general. So I think it worked in our favor. Honestly, I'm just thinking back briefly that we were still in that honeymoon phase. So it gave people, we didn't suffer from summer. We had a hot summer because we opened right before summer and people were traveling or people were making it more of a point to come. For instance, and I'm going to shout out my boy Ty Simpson, who's about to be the, you know, he's about to have his first game as official QB1 for Alabama. He and his family are from Martin. His dad, Coach Jason Simpson, is a coach at UT Martin. Yep. Yep. His mom, Julie. I usually see them, and his son, or his little brother, Graham, is a sophomore quarterback phenom at Westview. Last year, he was Mr. Football runner-up, and I believe he was a Gatorade Freshman of the Year in the entire country. But they're a great family. Truly can't say enough about them and Ty. Just wonderful, wonderful folks. Ty is so deserving of what he's got coming. I've got chill bumps right now thinking about it. He's like my brother. He's my big brother. I mean, bigger than me, but he's like my little brother too. Our first summer, whenever we were first opening was his. He had just gone to Alabama and started his red shirt season or whatever. Mm-hmm. I swear. I think I saw him 14 times in the first 7 days of operation that we were open here. It was day and night. And anytime he's back home, I'm not saying Blake's is his favorite restaurant. I think it would be a safe thing to say. And I think I've heard him say it actually, but whenever he's home, just know that Tyson, a lot of Alabama football, and I'm not saying I'm an Alabama fan, but I am a Ty Simpson fan. Sure. So roll Ty. When he's home, he's in this place 2 times a day. So really appreciate that. But we had a hot start and all that. I went off on a tangent and I've forgotten what your question was.
Well, when did you know that you were going to be okay?
After it slowed down and numbers were still working out enough to be trending in the right direction. I think that's the simplest answer. Now, people ask how business is all the time. And my answer is, man, or, you know, ma'am, as blessed as can be, you know, business is good. It can all, but it can always be 20-25% better. It's not like we're living in gangbuster land. I would like to think, and, you know, looking from my perspective, because people see the parking lot full and they think, oh, that equals money in Blake's pocket. Well, you know as well as I do. That's not the truth, even close. And one thing we that works against us here is I swear if there's 80 people in this restaurant, somehow there's 82 vehicles in the parking lot from customers. Yeah. It's like everybody drives separate. So it can be a Wednesday at lunch where if you were to pull up, park, walk in, you could have a Bubba Cole sandwich, have your drink and dessert, and be in and out of here as quickly as you can get it eaten. You could walk in and have your lunch done and be out of here in 15, 18 minutes. But the parking lot looks so overrun because there's only 60 people in here, but there's 65 cars out there, and that's not even staff. But, you know, once it slowed down and got into out of the honeymoon phase and we, you know, ran numbers and we track everything just down. That's my mom. She's mom and my general manager, Whitney. They are wizards and blessings when it comes to having everything just down to the penny. There's a rhyme and a reason behind everything we do, whether that's on my side and it has to do with something from food or, you know, a specific service thing that, hey, I made up a story about you a second ago, but it's, you're going to love it. Love you. That's Libby. Anyhow, I think that answers your questions.
Yeah. It's, you know, one of the things that I really appreciate about what you're doing is, you know, as you mentioned, you've made so many trips to Texas. You're heavily Texas influenced. Everyone knows the Texas Trinity, the brisket, the ribs, the sausage. But you're doing so much other stuff that, you know, above and beyond a traditional Texas menu. Where do the ideas come from? You mentioned the Bubba Cole and pimento cheese, and, you know, you've got a smoke dip and you've got all kind of fun other things that you do above and beyond the simple Texas Trinity. Where do the ideas come from, and why was it important to you to have a menu that had some variety like that?
I think ideas came from a variety of places. For instance, whenever you came, I remember your tray. I'll never forget you coming and popping in, and we took the selfie in the kitchen. And all that's back during the days where I was still,
right?
you know, you had French toast, pork ribs, slice of brisket, some turkey, Nashville hot chicken tender, if I remember correctly, all that stuff. So you came on brunch day, where we do we blow it out as far as, you know, offerings. That came from probably Guest Family Barbecue, Reed Guest back in the day. He was one of the first ones I remember running a barbecue brunch. Mm-hmm. He had like pulled pork infused pancakes and stuff like that. So, you know, that probably influenced originally from Guest Family. You know, our dessert program. I'm not a sweets guy, but from the beginning, to me, there's three phases of this restaurant. The barbecue fair, that let's just call that phase one, maybe the main phase.
Right.
Service, you know, good service. The bar where I'm sitting.
Mm-hmm.
And in this is in no order. And then a proper homemade, worthy dessert program. So that type of influence would have come from places, as you can imagine, like Miller Smokehouse in Belton, Texas, Truth Barbecue in Houston. There's a few others, but, you know, like whenever I was out on these trips, instead of one, of course, I was tasting the food in the barbecue and, you know, picking up, you know, I like a little more salt like they're doing here or whatever. Mm-hmm. On the brisket. That was a big part of it. But a lot of it was like keeping my eyes open out in the dining room, what their bathroom situation was set up like, their desserts. So like Miller Smokehouse and Truth to pay out, especially at Miller's, to pay out or make you place your order, you're standing there right by a clear dessert case that's you know, their sausage and their chilled meats and stuff, and those beautiful homemade desserts at Truth in Houston. You know, you're standing right there beside all those 14-inch tall homemade cakes. So stuff like that. our right down here at the bathrooms, we have a male, female, and then a handicapped family bathroom. The handicapped bathroom has its own faucet, you know, and sink. But one time on one of those early trips, Dad and I, in 2016 or 2017, we were at Hayes County Barbecue in San Marcos.
Mm-hmm.
And saw the bathroom there had a community trough type situation as the hand sink. I thought, that's so cool. And think about how unique and useful that is. And wonder if, or what if you just get a little sauce on your mouth or your hands, or, and, but you don't need to use a restroom.
Correct.
You're able to go do that. Or say you just want to wash your hands for, you know, sanitary reasons before you eat. You don't have to wait on a restroom open up. So stuff like that. So all over, I love fried chicken, so, and I love chicken tenders. So that's sort of the reasoning behind the you know, the house made chicken tenders. There's things to take pride in or love myself. And then, you know, staff, general manager Whitney, who, you know, love, and we work in tandem together. She had the idea for the smoked cream cheese, which outside of the Bubba Co sandwich and the creme brulee cheesecake is, you know, probably our biggest selling item, single item. So
I had some of that when I was there as well.
Yeah, I remember.
It was delightful.
Yeah, picture of, there you go. Yeah. Well, yeah, we, on a busy Saturday, it's nothing for us to run through 80 to 100 of those alone. Now that's a Saturday where we're feeding 900 right. to 1,000. A busy Saturday looks like us running through 900 to 1,000 customers through here. So that's a pretty sizable amount.
Yeah. Let's talk about as you move forward, right? Because you took a huge risk on yourself and on what you were doing. You went from the small food truck to the big restaurant. You're finding out that it works. People are coming in. Where does this go? Where does this evolve? Is this a, hey, maybe I open a place in Starkville and we chain it out a little bit? Is it, you know, we just continue to make sure that where we are is the best that it can be? What's kind of the future? Because obviously Blake's at Southern Milling works, but if you're somewhere else, it's Blake's in Starkville, right? So what's the future?
Right. I get asked this every day, and I'm prefacing my saying I should have a pretty collected thought in my mind.
Correct.
Prior to 18 months ago, it would have been absolutely not. No 2.0, no second location, no anything else ever. This is it. I want to just get this. And this is still partial of the answer. I do still want, before it moving forward anything, I want this to be humming in such a way that, and they don't, let's just say they don't need me now anyways. I come here because I love it and I love working, and it's where I'm happy, you know, happiest at. And I'm still very involved with everything.
But and by the way, your name's on the restaurant.
Yeah.
So you have to stay involved me to be in here. Some way.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. But I do thoroughly and genuinely just love being here. Over the last 18 months, now that we've, like you and I have talked about, my role has sort of changed. And I've had a chance to sort of step back and look at things from like a 30,000 foot view. It's now never say never. If presented the right opportunity, and given that this place was humming along, as I'll say, so effortlessly and, you know, perfectly, that, you know, I feel like it could be time. It would have to be right place, right time, right opportunity, all that stuff. I don't think, even though I'm still open to it, I don't think I want a place of this size anywhere. You know, I think if I were to do another one, it would be a smaller own taking, just because this is a beast. Big respect to the Terry Blatts and, you know, those folks in the world, the Hutchins. Man, Hutchins, what an operation. Got a shout out to Hutchins. What an impressive, great food, huge. Just Hutchins, there should be a book written on that for sure. Mm-hmm. It could happen. It could happen. Right place, right time. I'll say this also. I don't know why I'm shouting out. I never do this, but shout out to my University of Tennessee at Knoxville guys, President Randy Boyd. He's the president of the whole UT system.
Mm-hmm.
My boys, Keith Carver and Charlie Deal, who are both in Knoxville. Keith used to be, and both are very, all three of these guys, very dear friends. Keith and his wife, Holly Ann, truly some of my best friends, Charlie as well. They both used to be at UTM, so we, you know, we got to be really good buddies here. But they really want me to do a 2.0 in Knoxville. And when I tell you that we have a group text, which is kind of bizarre that I'm in a group text with folks of that magnitude.
The president of an SEC university?
Yeah, crazy. Yeah. But when I tell you that President Dr. Randy Boyd, I call him Randy because we're boys, but I had like at midnight received like a screenshot of a Google map of like Blake found your spot. You know what I mean? Yeah. They're always sending me locations. So it could be Knoxville would be a great market. Obviously, I'd love Starkville. But I tell you, I think what's more likely than any of that is as Martin, Tennessee itself continues to grow.
Mm-hmm.
I have about seven or eight more concepts that are not all for me to do. But a couple of those six or seven or eight that I have in mind that I think Martin needs, I would be willing and probably able, you know, suited to open other concepts. So you're
taking the Ronnie Killen approach, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Ronnie, for those that don't know, Ronnie Killen had a steakhouse because he's a Cordon Bleu chef, had a steakhouse, cooked barbecue out the back. It was so popular, he opened up a barbecue restaurant, cooked hamburgers out the back. The burgers were so popular, he opened up a burger restaurant and then opened a Tex-Mex place. So oh, yeah. He's been a little Ryan's bit of everything. Man.
Yeah, he's a great guy, great friend as well. So the Ronnie Killen approach, expand horizons, different cuisine, really not different cuisine, just little markets that I think, there's voids for here if and as Martin grows. So yeah. I think and talk a lot with folks around town and the county about some of that stuff pretty often, over coffee and such as. But I think that answers it for you, probably.
Yeah, you're still young too, so yeah. you have a lot of time left to do sure. stuff. What's the coolest, maybe farthest someone has come into the restaurant? Like, what's a cool story that you enjoyed of someone coming? Because look, Martin, Tennessee is not just it's not right off the interstate. Like, you've got to want to get to Martin to get to Martin. Sure. What's kind of the coolest someone who's come and visited, obviously besides me coming to visit you up there twice? What's the coolest one?
You're high on the list, genuinely. Sure, sure, I know sure, I was yeah. gonna say it anyways. Of course, Daniel Vaughn, I mean, you know, that was a huge bucket list moment. So that's tough to top. You and Brett were talking about Hiratoshi, who I've been friends with, mm-hmm. Dr. Tom Wynn, Hiratoshi Mugen, on Instagram. We've been friends and eat barbecue together since 2017, maybe 2018. I think it was 28 October. It was on my birthday. First time I met Tom was on my 22nd birthday. Keep in mind, I'm about to be 30. We ate barbecue right. together. His daughter, who I've also eaten probably two dozen meals with at this point, she's a real barbecue hound. Not that you're not, not that I'm not. But she's,
I mean, it's
she's
the name not. Of the show, brother. It's the name of the show. That's what we're here for.
That's right. But that was on October 22nd or October 20th, 2018, 22nd birthday, my first time at Corkscrew. Brian Norton from Tales from the Pits. Anyway, we all celebrated my birthday. He came. That was really, really cool. A lot of the Texas guys, John Brotherton and the late, John Brotherton, mm-hmm. one of my mm-hmm. best friend of so many. And Kerry Bexley of famous, the most famous Snows, surprised me. And we're here on opening day back in May of 2022. That's awesome. So that's huge. I could go on and on, but, we've had them coming from a lot of Texas, Chicago, and further out of the country. But, we've had some destination diners from Texas, Chicago, 6 and 8 hours away. So that's all cool.
Yeah,
that's all awesome. Great. Right. But nothing makes me happier than the folks I get to see here. We're open 4 days a week, and I can name you probably four to five, six names or names of families. Where it's not surprising. It's surprising to see them less than three times, in a week and not surprising to see them four or even five times. Yeah. So,
well, that's the backbone of any business is repeat customers, and you've got them. On your travels, what's your favorite? I hate to limit you to one, but give me some of your favorite bites of barbecue that you've had on your travels.
I think it's pretty easy. I'm going to call it a tie between, and these are also a tie for my two, I have to pick favorites, two favorite places. And I know this is going to be cliche because they're both number one, number two on the Texas Monthly list, but they truly are for me as well. In no order, Burnt Beans Thursday Special Pork Steak. I think I've had it three times and it blows my mind every time. It gets better and better. It shouldn't be able to get better, but it gets better and better.
Right.
And then I'm going to throw a 1B and a 1C in no order. Again, Leroy and Lewis's pork belly rib. So it's a rib bone with a pork belly attached, and it's in a maple bourbon glaze thing. It's just unbelievable. Melt in your mouth. Make you sick, but melt in your mouth. Delicious. And then just the full spread. I'm going to really shout out Leroy and Lewis. The first or second best meal, composed meal that I've ever had in my life. And in these travels, when I'm traveling for barbecue in these cities, I'm also eating some pretty high-end, sought-after, nice sushi meals, 12, 16-course, you know, tasting menu-style steakhouse, Italian meals and stuff like that. But outside of maybe Monte Verde restaurant in Chicago, which was I had that in Chicago with the Hootie Brown guys just a month or so ago.
Yeah, I was say you were just there recently.
Yeah, about a month. I guess it was about 6 weeks ago. We had a meal at Monte Verde. It was unbelievable. But my last meal at Leroy and Lewis at the brick and mortar in Austin back in January was, I don't mean barbecue best meal. I mean mind-blowing experience. We had like 18 different elements across the table. And they each one was not outshined by the next. And it was like, just every bite was like, this is the best thing I've ever had. So those two.
Yeah.
Which, great bites.
Yeah, makes perfect sense. All right. Last thing for you. Is there a menu item that you have, a new menu item that you have in your brain that you're kind of wanting to think about? You can either tell me what it is, or if you have something you don't want to say what it is, but is there something that you haven't done yet that you're looking or wanting to do? You mentioned the tomahawk steaks that you're doing, which is awesome, but is there something ruminating in the back of your mind that you want to do that you haven't done?
I think a couple. I've done them, but I haven't done them in maybe a few years, and have not done here at the restaurant like as a on or off the menu special. Pork belly porchetta.
Okay.
I used to do that some back in the day when I had a little more time to just play around, but I really prefer porchetta, not even with the, you know, traditionally, a lot of times it'll be pork belly wrapped around a pork tenderloin. I really like just a big slab of pork belly rolled up tightly, stuffed with the garlic and the thyme and the rose, you know, yeah, whatever.
It's hard to beat a good pork belly, man.
Yeah.
It is hard to beat.
Pork belly porchetta is on my list to do, you know, get it rendered down and then finish it off on like, you know, live flame to get the outside, because that's the most important part, is getting it crispy, get it cooked through, which is pretty difficult when you have that much wrapped, you know, it's a top one is weird, but that, and then I love like a smoked and maybe finish off seared like whole rack of lamb, you know, cut into chops with some sort of a chimichurri type deal. So those are probably the two sort of next things on my list. I think that both of those will happen by the end. Well, at least one of them happened by the end of the year, I would say. Just got a lot going on lately and trying to trying to wade through it one at a time.
Yes, you do. Look, I am obviously got to see you not at the beginning, but certainly in the beginning stages at the food truck. And I want to compliment you also because I passed along a piece of criticism to you, which was, again, it was from the heart. It was not meant as a criticism. I could tell you knew what you were doing when I sat down to eat, but the particular ribs that I had weren't quite seasoned enough. And you told me the next time I saw you, which was 7 years later, I think, or no, not 7 years. It was probably like 4 or 5 years later. You said to me, "Hey, I still remember the thing you told me." That's to me the sign of someone who knows what they're doing and is comfortable enough with themselves to be able to take a criticism, not get hurt by it or anything, and say, Sure. Yeah, I see that and I can learn from it. I appreciate that that sort of intellect and that sort of curiosity in you. And I just want to let you know that because that was awesome.
Yeah, it really was. It stuck with me. I mean, specifically, it was the pepper. You know, your ribs that first time in 2019 were spotty as far as pepper, and I recognized immediately why that had happened. Mm-hmm. And would have been a trend back then. And like since that day, like your meal there and that piece of very constructive positive criticism changed my process on the way I finished the seasoning process. Anyways, it's basically that I just had them stacked, you know, in a pan.
They just rub off.
Yeah, they just rub off. So yeah. It was as easy as a fix as wait to apply that last level of pepper as they're going on the smoker, you know, each rib at a time. So I think about it all the time. Anytime I see something not seasoned, because I'm not, you know, for a long time I kept up continuing to be, you know, I was still trimming 30, 40 briskets, probably not 40, but 30 briskets a week, you know, and seasoning all that stuff. So now I'm more overseeing it and really not even having to do that. But if I ever see anything missing, you know, the seasoning, I think, Netherton 2019.
That's a Netherton rib right there. We can't
try it. That's right.
What I'm happy to know is that the basic demarcation line of what is not good enough is the Netherton line at Blake's at Southern Milling.
That, like, says something.
If you see something that isn't good, that's immediately a Netherton rib. And I appreciate that is what I'm known for, is the not good enough food. I do appreciate that. That makes me very happy.
Yes, sir. I'm with
you. Hey, look, very excited and very happy for your rise. I hope that whatever is next, whether it be more things in Martin or whether it be a second location of Blake somewhere else, wish you all the success. I'm going to get back up there soon and come see you because it's been too long. But Blake, it is absolutely a joy to watch someone who takes a passion that they are filled with and has in their heart and turn that into what you've turned it into. The building is absolutely beautiful. If you're anywhere near Martin, Tennessee, you owe it to yourself to get to Blake's at Southern Milling, because it is not only tremendous food, but it is also a beautiful place to just go and have a meal, whether you're in the bar or in the main dining room. Brother, I am so happy for what you guys have done.
Thank you, man. Appreciate your friendship and your always being supportive over the years. And with that, as far as going back, or coming back here, we need to meet up and have another meal. It's been way, 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 way too long since I've been to see my boy Steven at Riverport.
Yep.
And I hate that. I think about it all the time. When I think of him, I think of you. When I think of you, I think of him. I think of our meals there together. So we will
make it happen, my friend. Don't worry about that. So again, if you're anywhere near Martin, Tennessee, make sure that you go check out Blake's at Southern Milling, an absolutely gorgeous, restored 100-plus-year-old building where they're doing absolutely incredible barbecue. I've not eaten at every barbecue place in Tennessee, but if there's a better one, I would love for someone to show it to me. Blake, as always, brother, best of luck. Keep going, and we look forward to catching up with you here before too long.
Thank you, buddy. Appreciate you having me on.
All right, Big thanks to Blake Stoker. Blake's at Southern Milling for joining us for this week's episode of the Barbecue Hound with Patrick Netherton. Blake is such a good dude and a guy that has such perseverance and such a work ethic, building his barbecue empire, if you will, from just a small trailer in Martin, Tennessee, getting that giant milling building and turning it into just a palace. If you haven't been, you need to get over to Martin, Tennessee and go see Blake Stoker. And obviously, when you see him, tell him that you heard about it right here on the Barbecue Hound. Now it's time for the smoke, where we get your thoughts and opinions on what we've been up to. A lot of comments on the episode last week from Bill Dumas, the sausage sensei down at Schultz's Pit Room in Seguin, Texas, a man who has been all around the world teaching sausage making. And we've got a lot of commentary about it. We've also have an email, which again, if you want to email us, you can, patrick@thebbqhound.com. You can also find us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, or X, at the BBQ Hound, and of course our YouTube channel. We're on all the podcast platforms, so make sure that you're subscribing and sharing, especially sharing. Tell everyone about it. Let's keep growing this thing. Let's get it bigger and bigger and reaching more and more people. All right, time for the smoke for this week. Let's go ahead and start with the email, since I mentioned that. And it's a bit of a lengthy one, but it's from a friend of mine, Nathan, talking about sausage, and obviously Bill Dumas, the sausage master. He said, the foods of Eastern Europe aren't particularly internationally renowned. By the way, this is titled Ukrainian Sausage. However, one of my favorite meals in the world is made by basically every Eastern European country, each with their own twist on it. If you ever get to travel to Chicago, even though people think of it for deep dish pizza and steakhouses, there are these absolutely amazing Polish grocery stores that make these things called golumki. It's cabbage stuffed with ground meat, rice, and dill, then simmered in a tomato sauce. They're unbelievable. I could see that very easily translating into a sausage. The other food that they're famous for is borscht, beet, potato, and carrot soup made with chicken broth, something that can also easily be worked into a ground beef filling and turned into sausage. Thank you, Nathan. We appreciate the contribution. And yeah, look, as Bill told us about last week, anything can basically become a sausage. It's all science, right? You explode it, and then you put it back together and put it in a casing, and you basically have sausage. And he's obviously done a ton of that. Some other comments on his on several of our Instagram posts with talking to Bill Dumas, Chef Justin Brunson, Four Hearts, Mike Metter, Done Good, with a fist bump emoji. Art Some Artist said, okay, now you need to do a nod to the Kelsey Swift engagement. And Bill, and I'm not sure if Bill's being tongue-in-cheek with this or not, responded with, who or what are you referring to? No idea. Now, look, Bill Dumas is one of those guys that could possibly not know who Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift are. There's a part of me that thinks he might be serious, but of course, he's got a little bit of that sarcastic edge as well. Big Javs Barbecue said, Bill, you, sir, are a sausage rock star. Michael Koger said, Forkum emoji. That's what I think of because I work for Northwestern State. But rock on emoji. Uncle Chico's Barbecue said, rock on, sensei. Oso's Barbecue said, it looks so good. Some more Instagram comments as well, as we again post a couple of different video clips. Pittman SJC said, so dope, brother. Blee's Barbecue said, the best to do it. Michael Koger said, that's why he's the sensei. Sausage UK said, science, baby. Yorkshire Whiskey Barbecue said, gladly gobble your wieners. This is a family show. Let's keep it PG. And Harold Pitmasters, a frequent commenter, said, Mr. Dumas is certainly creative with his sausage flavors. Great interview. I'd be interested to know if he has the recipe for the molasses and coffee barbecue sauce that he referenced. Sounds like a good one. And obviously, I was going to mention that to him. I hope he still has that recipe because it sounds delicious and it sounds like he needs to make that. The last few bits of the smoke from the YouTube video itself. Ryan says Bill has taken sausage beyond what anyone has ever imagined. Jonathan said Bill is a legend. Huge get for the show. Keep up the good work, PT. Thank you, Jonathan. Appreciate it. And Red and Blue Bulldog wants us to have a launch party for the show, have it at a local barbecue spot or somewhere, have people show up to cook. We're not quite there yet, Red and Blue Bulldog. We're just starting slow. If this thing continues to progress like I think it will and it gets bigger and bigger, then we'll do some on-location stuff. We may do some live broadcasts on the YouTube channel, that kind of thing. But as for now, it's simply staying with just kind of an interview format and then listener and viewer responses. Hey, great responses this week to Bill Dumas, the Sausage Sensei. We appreciate it. Keep up sending those in on the Facebook page, the Instagram feed, on Twitter or X. Comment on the YouTube channel. We appreciate that. Subscribe to all of our places, including wherever you get your favorite podcasts or your favorite podcast platform. And please share. Tell your friends, tell your enemies, tell everyone about this podcast. Let's continue to see this thing grow. So that's it for this week. Big thanks to Blake Stoker of Blake's at Southern Milling for joining us. I look forward to seeing you next week on the Barbecue Hound with Patrick Netherton.